From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 23rd day of October, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. In agricultural news, the GAO is calling out the USDA, and the pork producers aren't far behind. Two stories are not related to each other. And Indiana farm broadcaster Gary Truitt will have a report from the National FFA Convention. It's going on right now in Indianapolis. Also this half hour, we'll hear a commentary from the Farm Bureau and Darrell Good's musings on how much of the drop in commodity prices is due to the bigger-than-expected crop and how much might be coming from diminished demand. At the end of this half hour, of course, meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to help us take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. And it all happens on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL, that's public radio, from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Take a look at the numbers as they settled on a Thursday afternoon in Chicago. Futures in the wheat pit like this, nearby contract in the December, 523, a settlement price up 5.25, the March at 542, up 4.5, and May wheat at 555.5, 4.75 cents higher for the day. In Kansas City, December hard red winter wheat at $5.53, settled 3.5 cents higher. December corn futures back in Chicago up 5.25 today, 390.25 the settlement price. December corn once again 5.25 higher. March futures 406.25, up 5.5. The May at 417.25, up 5.25, and July $4.27, a settlement price 4.75 cents higher. November soybeans, 884.5, up 25.5 cents. January at 888.5, up 23.75. And the March contract for the day at 896.5, 23.25 higher too. May futures 905.5, up 23 cents today. December bean meal futures at 269, 1170 higher. December bean oil down 48 at 38.82. October live cattle 89.75, down $1.40 for the afternoon. The December at 89.87.5, $2 lower. October feeders at 97.77.5, down $1.20. November down 2.15 at 96.77.5, and December lean hog futures at 57.92.5, 27.5 cents lower on the day. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby crude oil trading $69.20 a barrel, down $2.45. November ethanol at $1.70 is 3.6 cents higher. Natural gas is trading at $6.43, down 34.7 cents. The RBOB gasoline at 158.1 is up a penny on the day, and November heating oil is unchanged at 204. November propane just about 3.7 cents lower at 95 cents, and the gold futures are trading at $713.30. They're down $20 an ounce. Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 228. That's at 82.91, a 15-minute delay on that one. The U.S. dollar is up 0.36, rather down 0.36 at 85.24. And the CRB index, currently trading at 265.89, is down 0.25 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like from our own Daniel Pounder. He says tonight in Illinois it should be cloudy, with occasional rain. In Indiana, become cloudy with showers moving in. Lows will range from 39 in the north to 50 in the south. Tomorrow, Mr. Pounder says, cloudy, periods of rain and a few thunderstorms. Highs will range from 51 in eastern Indiana tomorrow to 57 in the far south. The extended forecast across Illinois and Indiana, rain should spread across much of the two-state region on Thursday night and continue right on through Friday. That'll end in harvest operations for the while. Scattered showers will continue Friday night and Saturday, and perhaps some areas into Sunday. A total rainfall between 1 to 2 inches by Saturday afternoon. Cool weather expected over the weekend into early next week. That'll be followed by a moderation in temperature later in the week. It appears that dry weather will prevail during much of the next week, with a rain possible toward the end of the week or shortly thereafter.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products, including Asgro's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon. We're joined to take a look at the agricultural futures markets by Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
Well, let's talk about this marketplace. A little turn up in the market. Is that anything to really think much about, or is it just part of the up and down of sideways to lower market?
Well, I think you have to at least say it's maybe just part of a normal correction from a very hard down yesterday. I mean, yesterday we were down 30 on the corn and 50 on beans, and here we settled, five higher on corn, about 23 higher or so on soybeans. So I think you have to say initially it was maybe just kind of a back and full and filling action from hard down yesterday. However, though, I think, technicians will take notice of the fact that we did show some downside follow-through in the overnight session, and then we've reversed up. So we do have what we call as a hook reversal up to the upside on both corn and soybean charts. And as I was explaining to Dave, there's a shot, probably more so in soybeans and corn, that there's a little, head and shoulders formation that might give us a little more of a bounce here. The timing is ripe for some kind of recovery rally. Seasonally is kind of ripe in here. But you got to keep in mind that the major trend lines, the intermediate trend lines, your moving average systems all point down yet. Until the market would maybe post a higher weekly finish, now if today's hook reversal up would turn into a weekly reversal, well, then that would make some kind of statement from a technical perspective. But since we lost so much this week, it's kind of hard to visualize that we could manage a higher weekly finish tomorrow.
And just so those that are listening and want to keep track of what the technos look like, a hook up, it's a lower low and
a higher finish.
A higher finish for the day, but not a higher
high.
Higher high. That would
than
be the
previous
outside
day. Right.
That would be the outside up.
Right.
So let's talk a bit more about where you think the range could be. I think there are some numbers down at the bottom that are almost scary at this point.
And I think those are still in play. I don't think you want to rule anything out in this type of environment. If there's anything that I've learned watching the markets for over 30 years or 35 years is when markets turn up, you can't get bullish enough. And when markets turn down, you can't get bearish enough because they have a strong tendency to redefine values for you over that period of time when they turn up from a low and turn down from a high. And I think, when we look at today's levels, a year ago, these were still very respectable levels. 6 months or 3 months ago, now they don't look very respectable, but a year ago at this time, these were very respectable price levels. So we have to kind of keep it in a time capsule of what we're comparing to.
Well, given that then, what are you telling producers about what they should do? Are they storing this crop, which is what most of them are doing?
Well, for the most part, farmers were probably a little more heavily sold in this crop year than they normally have been because they were offered some of the better prices that they have seen in some of their lifetime, really, a year in advance. So farmers sold a lot of fall 08-type crops a year ago from basically this point forward through November and December as the market rallied. So for the most part, they've delivered on those contracts or delivering on those contracts, and for the time being here, they've been basically tight holders on on any new sales at this point.
And so as you look out, if you wanted to give a big broad brush range of where you think things could trade between now and, I don't know, the first of the year, what do you think?
I think there's more risk to the downside than opportunity to the upside. Demand has picked up a little bit, but supplies are pretty large. We're in a deleveraging type market. We're still liquidating all of this index fund money out of the marketplace. So there's always selling pressure and liquidation pressure coming to the market. So that kind of keeps a lid on things. The dollar has stayed somewhat firm. We are pulling back a little bit from a very strong run here the last 3-4 days. Europe, the economy, the trade kind of feels that the 27 countries that make up the euro is going to have a hard time deciding on how they want to handle this financial crisis. So that's why there's been a lot of flight to the U.S. dollar until Europe kind of decides on what they want to do. So that's been a real negative influence here to U.S. commodity prices. But I think, you know, my bias is that I think farmers need to constantly reevaluate the risk, because I do think there is downside risk in this market. I know a lot of farm market advisory services don't want to talk that way. They want to kind of talk the market up. Well, you know, they got stuff to sell. They didn't get any, you know, they didn't get enough stuff sold at the high, so they're wanting the market to go up so they can tell people to sell. So so the great majority in conventional wisdom here is the market is going to try to rally, and I don't like to get in those boats, and that's kind of where I'm at right now.
All right, then one other question. This one on the dollar, which has, you mentioned, shown some strength. Steve Forbes will, I think in tomorrow's, when it hits the stands tomorrow, has pinned an article, and he argues for a stronger U.S. dollar. That's not typically very good for the price of commodities. What do you think?
No, I mean, the dollar is not good. That depends upon which side of the business equation you're on. If you're a raw producer that depend a lot on exports, you want a weak dollar. And we in agriculture are in a position that, I mean, that's one of the things that the U.S. does export is food. So a weaker dollar helps us in the sense that it keeps our markets open in agriculture. Now, a stronger dollar will keep oil prices cheaper. There's no doubt about that for the average consumer and for the business world. So you can see people probably over on the business side of the equations wants a strong dollar, like Steve Forbes. But we in agriculture kind of like a weak dollar so we can stay competitive in the world market.
Dan, we appreciate you being with us today.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens on Thursday afternoons.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of WILL, Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Here are a couple of news stories for the day. A report released by the Government Accountability Office says the civil rights efforts overseen by the Office of the Assistant Secretary for Civil Rights at USDA are marked by significant deficiencies and recommends new accountability structures to correct ongoing failures. Specifically, GAO found that USDA fails to track and adjudicate civil rights complaints, fails to provide accurate data regarding minority participation in USDA programs, and fails to adequately undertake strategic planning with respect to civil rights. We'll stay with the USDA in our second story. In Des Moines, Iowa, last Friday, Secretary of Ag Ed Schaefer indicated that the Rural Business and Industry Loan Program could be used to maybe rewrite loans in the ethanol industry. But Neil Dirks, CEO of the National Pork Producers Council, says anything that has even the appearance of a bailout for the industry that already is being propped up, he says, through government production mandates, tax credits, and import tariffs is a slap in the face to all of animal agriculture. And that's a quick look at what's happening in the world of agricultural news for the day.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027.
Up next, as you already know, more than 50,000 FFA members are expected to step up and stand out at the 81st National FFA Convention going on in Indianapolis. Gary Truitt says it all started with a chance for students to serve.
One of the first things FFA students did when arriving here in the city is begin to serve. The Day of Service program involves over 1,700 FFA members in hands-on service projects all over Central Indiana, from helping at food banks to planting trees to construction projects at nonprofit organizations. FFA Foundation Executive Director Dennis Sargent says it's part of the FFA mission.
One of the precepts of FFA is living to serve. And so by doing this activity at the convention, and we'll be doing it over 3 days this year, we teach kids how to do these kinds of activities. And it's amazing how many state conventions, local chapters have picked up on these kinds of service activities and are doing them now at home as well.
While the National FFA Convention is one of the largest conventions in the nation, Sargent says it all started from very humble beginnings.
Started out with 28 back in 1928 in a hotel in Kansas City, so we've come a long way.
But will the convention stay in Indianapolis? The current contract calls for the event to stay only through 2009. Thus, this will be the last chance Indianapolis has to make an impression on the blue and gold. Sargent says, however, that Indianapolis is a great place to hold the national convention.
We have a great support group. The Indianapolis Local Organizing Committee is active, vibrant. They've been active in helping us raise funds to help bring the convention here, to help us offset expenses so that it's an affordable convention for these young people. We're particularly proud of FFA Way. Georgia Street will be decked out as well as other streets leading into the downtown area. We'll be using Lucas Oil Stadium for the first time, which is an exciting venue for both a mega concert and for our American degree ceremonies. In addition to Conseco Fieldhouse, we use most of this city. We'll be on the fairgrounds for many, many judging activities. We'll be using other parts of the city for dinners and luncheons and judging.
After this convention, FFA officials will decide whether to remain in the Hoosier State or move elsewhere. From the 81st National FFA Convention in Indianapolis, I'm Gary Truitt.
Our thanks to Gary Truitt for that story. Farm broadcaster for the Hoosier Ag Today Network, based in Claremont, Indiana. In today's listener opinion forum, Shelby County Farm Bureau's Amy Rochka says American agriculture faces cautious optimism for the future.
Anyone close to American agriculture knows that cautious optimism is a job requirement for any farmer. The phrase cautiously optimistic often is used by experts asked to predict the future in difficult times. Gary Stern, the president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis, recently shared his thoughts and sentiment regarding the federal government's $700 billion rescue plan of financial institutions. He said the move should prove effective, but not without some pain. Anytime the stock market makes gains in tumultuous times, the pundits will say Wall Street is cautiously optimistic about financial outlook. A clear takeaway message is that agriculture is in good financial shape, but there are potential storm clouds building on the horizon. By many measures, U.S. agriculture may be in the best financial shape ever. For 2008, farmers are expected to harvest a record net cash income of more than $100 billion with strong corn, soybean, and wheat prices earlier this year, pumping in more cash receipts to agriculture. For 2009, farm income will likely retreat from those levels due to lower cash receipts as well as higher input costs. Most farmers should not have trouble securing credit for the 2009 crop, but they still will need to work closely with their lenders, carefully preparing their crop budgets and keeping particularly close watch on their costs in 2009. Fertilizer costs are expected to continue to increase, but pesticide costs should remain stable due to the increasing role of biotechnology, which has reduced the cost of some products. A saving grace for American agriculture is the uptick in land values. Land values have been the shock absorber for many farmers. Land values are generally high right now for agriculture, but not just because they went up this year doesn't mean they will continue to climb. Marketing will be more important than ever in the new crop year. Farmers will need to find new ways to market their crops in these challenging economic times, and they will have to look for risk management tools beyond hedging. Indicators also point to falling corn prices in 2009. When corn prices fall below $4 per bushel, farmers face a real cost price squeeze. However, the expected decline in corn prices should benefit livestock producers with lower feed costs, which is a must because the economic slowdown is expected to lower U.S. demand for beef, poultry, and hogs. This time next year will be the time to look back at 2008, and we will reveal if it's been cautious optimism, predictions for agriculture were spot on or way off the mark. This is Amy Rochkus with the Shelby County Farm Bureau.
Amy Rochkus' comments are her own and reflect her opinions. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station. We strongly urge listeners like you to become involved by sharing your views as well. To do so, just give us a call. The number is 217-333-0850. Hey, have you read the latest from the Farm Doc team at www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu and the credit crunch and how the economic meltdown around the globe is impacting the price of corn and soybeans and wheat? If not, don't worry. I've got more on the slow economic growth around the globe and how it's putting pressure on farmers in the United States. The problems on Wall Street have shown up in rural America. U.S. farmers in the Midwest depend on domestic and world demand for their top crops, wheat, soybeans, and of course corn. The economic slowdown in the U.S. economy, and now engulfing the rest of the planet, has pushed demand for those crops down, says University of Illinois Extension ag economist Daryl Good.
As economies slow, not only domestically but worldwide, unemployment increases, consumer incomes come under pressure. Then that raises real concern about not only food demand, but also energy demand, of course. And as energy demand softens and gasoline prices come down, ethanol prices come down, and the price that ethanol producers can afford to pay for corn comes down. So, you know, tried to emphasize that the real implication is on the demand side of the ag commodities.
Well, the problems on Wall Street were coming to a head just about the same time traders in Chicago realized the supply side concerns evident earlier in the season when too much rain was flooding farm fields were no longer valid.
All of a sudden, all of the supply concerns that we had were dissipating. Supplies bigger than we anticipated. And at least from early September on, that coincided with the decline in the financial markets and the growing concern about demand for agricultural commodities. And so we got that 1-2 punch.
Ample supplies now being harvested, pow, and Wall Street falling apart, boom. It's a bit difficult to separate out the price impact of each, but it is possible.
One way to do that is to look at the livestock markets and say, no, really, since early September, we've seen about a 15% decline in livestock prices. We've probably most of that attributed to demand worries. So we can probably say about 15% decline in corn and soybean prices since the 1st of September have been the result of this demand concern.
And the other half, about another 15% because of Wall Street. I'm Todd Gleason.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Federal prosecutors have broadened their investigation of Governor Rob Blagojevich's administration. They've subpoenaed records concerning Blagojevich's lobbyist friend and a hospital that got a favorable decision from a state board allegedly controlled by convicted influence peddler Tony Rezko. The subpoena was delivered to Prevena Health 2 weeks ago. It sought information about the hospital's relationship to lobbyist John Wyma. That's according to a person familiar with the investigation who spoke on condition of anonymity because grand jury subpoenas are secret. Prevena Health is the parent company of hospitals in Urbana and Danville. Wyma was registered to represent Prevena when it got approval for an open-heart surgery unit in Elgin. A spokeswoman for the Mokena-based hospital group today confirmed the subpoena was delivered. The governor is not charged with wrongdoing. His office had no immediate comment. More than 3,000 people have already cast their votes in Champaign County.
Illinois County Clerk's offices are taking in early voters for another week, and people with legitimate reasons can vote absentee up to Election Day. Champaign County Clerk Mark Sheldon says there have been lines at times at his office, and he believes that 10% of registered voters in the county will have already voted before Election Day. The economic crisis has derailed a not-for-profit foundation's plans for a casino night fundraiser to help the Springfield School District. The foundation wanted to sell at least 250 tickets at $25 apiece, but organizers canceled after failing to reach their goal of selling at least 100 tickets in advance of Saturday's event. Indiana University officials say it's okay for faculty and staff to display political signs as long as they don't imply support by the university itself. For example, officials say a campaign sign in a professor's office is acceptable, but a sign in the window facing outward would be iffy. Posters, buttons, and bumper stickers from individual staff or faculty members are still allowed. The University of Illinois recently had to clarify its ethics rules dealing with displaying political material and attending rallies. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of WILL Public Radio for the farming world from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Time to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast on a Thursday afternoon. Peter Levitt is with us. Good afternoon to you, Peter.
Good afternoon, Todd.
When will the rainfall begin in our part of the world here in Urbana-Champaign?
Probably very shortly. The leading edge of the precipitation now is up across central Illinois, and there should be a few sprinkles showing up probably within the hour, and then we're going to see some heavier rain get across there in the subsequent hours into the evening hours. The heaviest rain is downstate, though. The heaviest rain's in the southern third of the state, where we're seeing moderate to heavy rain all the way down into western Kentucky. This is associated with a low-pressure system that's sitting over northeast Kansas right now and has a big swirl of clouds and precipitation coming first eastward across Iowa and then southeastward through Illinois and down south down the Mississippi River Valley. Most of the rain is associated with that eastern portion of the front as it moves slowly through. So that will bring some rain tonight. The heaviest rain will wind up in eastern Illinois tonight and tomorrow. There is what we call a dry slot between frontal band and the actual parent low, which is over Kansas. So it may quit for a while later tonight and early tomorrow, but then the whole system itself, the parent system, the low-pressure system, works through on Friday and Saturday. That's more rain, more cool temperatures, flush of warm air just ahead of that low, and then it moves through Friday night and Saturday. So we see showery weather in the forecast right through Saturday morning, with a respite probably later tonight and early on Friday morning before the heavier rain returns. And then a change for the weekend. It's going to clear out and cool off quite a bit, and we're going to see some cooler temperatures and drier weather from about Monday right on through Thursday, warming up about Friday. So this wet weather is on the weekend, and it's going to be cool, brief flush of warm air later tomorrow, and then colder next week.
I've seen accumulation of the precip totals between 1 and 2 inches. Is that fairly general across the area?
Yeah, it does. The heaviest amounts, I think, will be to the south in the southern half of the state, and even in the southern areas, it'll tend to be mostly in the east. As you go north, the amounts will be lighter, but they may be more persistent on Friday into early Saturday.
And a quick update of how the South American planting progress should be going.
Well, that should be doing well. They've had some favorable weather for a change. You remember we talked so long about dryness in the Argentina, then the showers came in, and now the Argentina's had some heavy showers this past week, and that's increased moisture levels for the planting of their summer crops and also getting some late finishing for their winter crops. So it's better there. Brazil's been warmer and drier than normal, but they've had enough rain to get things going for summer crops, and maybe a little bit more rain will help out this week.
Thanks much, Pete.
My pleasure.
Pete Levitt, meteorologist. I'm Todd Gleason.
WILL programs are made possible by the iCorn.com Seeds of Knowledge Video Scholarship Contest. Farmers nominate students who make a 90-second video and compete for a share of $30,000 in college scholarships from iCorn.com. More information is available online at iCorn.com.